Hey, you. Want access to exclusive secret ops intel? Check out the link in the description.
What tends to be true is that these glue people, these people that do professionally hold a few different skill sets or departments underneath of them, though they are often the heroes of their business, somehow these people all also have a bit of imposter syndrome.
Welcome to Secret Ops, the podcast uncovering the world of operations one episode at a time. I'm your host, Ariana Caffone, and today's guest is Shayna Anderson, founder of Hello Generalist and an operator with over 15 years of experience. It was just such a pleasure to get to nerd out about all things operations. It's fantastic because we talk about the operator's journey, which is not linear in any way, shape, and form, and is also part of the motivation in starting Hello Generalist, which helps to connect really amazing part-time team members with startups that are looking for that specific generalist for their exact needs. Outside of that, we talk about food trucks, where the word generalist came from, and everything in between. So let's just jump in. The common thread of a passion for food. You, in college, dropped out to start a food truck. That's probably a whole episode in itself to talk about that. But you've also been an operator in many different food startups or adjacent food startups like Yelp, Chewy's, Nori. And you also have a passion for baking. Tell us more about this food truck. What were you cooking? Give us some context here.
I love that we're starting here. It's the best place to start. I just want to talk about food. Yeah, you know, it 15 plus years ago now, dare I age myself, I was a college sophomore and I went to school to study classical singing to really up the ante to the weirdness of my background. And in the middle of trying to figure out what my career might look like as a classical musician, I ended up at a farmer's market locally in my hometown and met a chef who had a farmer's market stand. This long time ago, before local food was a thing, he was buying a bunch of local food and turning it into provisions and making bacon and making different salts and spices. This was not a thing for farmer's markets in Orlando, Florida, 15 years ago. And he had a real vision to start a food truck. So he got a bunch of really classically trained chefs together in his network, and I cobbled on the bandwagon, and together we all opened a truck that bought a bunch of local food, and then the chefs on board, the cooks, made whatever they wanted with it. So it was this ever-changing menu of really great local food from around Central Florida. Because we were really the first ones, or among the first ones, to tap into local food in that area, we got a ton of attention. So the New York Times came out, the Cooking Channel and Food Network came out to film with us. And for me at, you know, 20, this was not just a first deep dive into the world of entrepreneurship, where, you know, you're dealing with payroll and taxes and inventory, but also this amazing introduction to what a food business does for a community, which is to be an anchor for that community. So that was my start to this love of food. And that experience is eventually what brought me out to California, where I got to work with Outstanding in the Field, really cool company, outstandinginthefield.com. You can go buy tickets to their events all around the world. It's a really special experience. And then from there, I made the jump into the world of tech and startups. I was living in San Francisco and met another founder who had raised a little bit of venture capital and was trying to build a platform for restaurants to sell their catering to offices. I joined up with them when there were 10 of us in the founder's room and left about 5 years later when there were hundreds of us around the country. We'd raised $45 million and we were acquired. I could talk a lot about that experience. That changed my life. And from there, I've worked in a number of other companies, big and small, helping restaurants. Chief of staff at Yelp Restaurants for a few years, which was a truly wonderful experience. And to your point, continue to just be obsessed with baking, which is, I think, like nerdy cooking is the way to think about it.
So this thread, at some point you realized, not only am I an entrepreneur, but I'm also an operator, because you've been a COO and a chief of staff. So what was that moment? Was it like, oh, dang, I fell into this and now I guess I'm this thing? Or did you realize early on, hey, this is where my skill set is really strongest and this is where I can bring a lot of focus?
You know, if I really had to trace it back, I was always drawn to friends that were doing projects and I'd find myself helping them host the event, get the thing going, schlep the thing from point A to point B. In my early 20s, I became my friend's default wedding coordinator when none of us had money or for wedding coordinators. But for me, when I really first realized the skill set and saw the skill set at scale was at Choose, which was this first venture-backed startup that I joined. 10 people in the founder's apartment and you know, got to hold executive roles building marketplace supply, which was sales, account management, and merchandising for our marketplace. Then got to build delivery operations, having food delivery drivers, warehousing, dispatching, inventory. And then to, you know, take it all up on steroids, I led US market expansion for the company, which is really for people that have done market expansion or city expansion work, especially in marketplaces and especially in some sort of food delivery or live food product delivery marketplace. It is the ultimate test of an operator where you're balancing supply, demand, and delivery. You're trying to show a greater return on your upfront investment into opening that market over time. So it really became the ultimate puzzle for me. And that's really where I saw the raw skills of Shayna in her 20s. I got to see it really ratcheted up and with funding in the bank to support it and with really smart people around me to help me do the work.
So you've gone from the like doing the ground level work, I'm sure, like buying the inventory, you know, making sure that everything is set up perfect on the ground level, to this higher level strategic implementation. What do you think is the shift in the mentality? And how did you learn to go from being on the ground to being more strategic, but then again, tying strategy back to the on the ground work?
You know, I think for me, where that change really happened was my time at Choose. And the punchline to this whole story is that I was really, really bad at it at first. Truly atrocious. And I realized I was truly atrocious as a first-time manager with a team bigger than two people. As suddenly, as what happens to so many of us at venture-backed startups, I'm all of a sudden, nearly overnight, have a team of 15 direct reports, managing all these different functions and no skill set as a manager, no understanding of how to take my IC skill sets and help others now be successful, give others what they need to be successful in those IC skill sets. I had no idea. And that's most first-time managers. My experience was I started to get really negative feedback from my team, from around me. Thank God that they, you know, we were in a culture where they could give that feedback. And it was a total blessing. And for me, sent me down my real first experience working with a professional coach, where I worked with someone named Chad Hurst in San Francisco, who offers mindfulness coaching for leaders, which is like a woo-woo way of saying we did major self-work and self-reflection about who I am and how I want to show up. And that was combined with all sorts of traditional mindfulness practices like meditation and journaling and reading. And it really changed my life and helped me move forward. So I think that the transition for me into how I show up as a leader and how I take, you know, being good at the operational skill sets to helping others be good at the operational skill sets, it was a journey of self-work. It was a journey of self-discovery. And the more that I was able to know myself and tune into what I needed and how I was showing up, the more I could be really present and really available to the people on my team and give them what they needed. So that was the big thing for me. I wish I had a hot tip or trick within it, but it's like, you know, if you're on that path and that journey, having mentorship and coaching and resources around you to help you get to know yourself better, help you see yourself in a different light, that really, it's hard work, it's long-term work, but it's the work that is really going to help you get there.
When I was in the startup experience, I do think at the time I would have those like, things are not good. Like this is, I'm not doing a good job. I'm failing, right? I had that feeling. But now as I'm older, I look back and I guess I first of all think you weren't gonna know the thing. You had to live it. The only way for you to know what you were doing is to do it. There's no other way through it. And that's, there's the, on your website, and I also really relate to this, there's the quote, like a jack of all trades, master of none. And it always would drive me crazy because that full quote actually says, hey, that's actually a positive thing, right? To be able to try different things and learn different things. And this is, I think, the struggle with people who are either curious about a lot of things or they are working in a lot of different capacities at their businesses, is they become these jack of all trades, these generalists, for lack of a better word. And this is where you've sort of come into the picture. And what was it? Was it 2022? You founded Hello Generalists to essentially shine a spotlight on those people to say, hey, all of the stuff that you do is really stinking important to businesses. Let me help you to connect to the right business and also to support in what you're doing. So can you talk about where Hello Generalists came from, what you've seen over the last couple of years to make it a company that you wanted to found?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm founder CEO of Hello Generalist, and we call it HG for short. And HG, you can think of as, you know, part recruiter, part job marketplace for non-full-time roles, and part community. Our whole mission is around making work more flexible for individuals and for companies. Core business there is like helping startups hire these deeply experienced operators part-time and on contract. And this all got started out of my own lived experience. I was chief of staff at Yelp Restaurants, working on one of the best teams I've ever been on, making the most money I've ever made by far in my life. Bless you, Yelp. And like, truly, thank you. And yet coming out of COVID, I kind of picked my head up and realized that I really desperately needed to reframe my relationship with work. I had a lot of energy, a lot of skills to offer, but I wasn't quite sure that working full-time for one company was going to be the path that would sustain me for the next 20, 30 years of my career. And at the same time, I was looking around and was seeing really smart friends in my life, particularly designers and engineers. They'd found a way to work independently on contract, share their skills more broadly with a bigger set of people, have more free time than they had before, make more money than they had before. And like everything about that sounded really great. And so I quit this wonderful job to first take a break that I was overdue for, and then get down to work and figure out what was going on with this whole independent contract work thing. And I come from a business background. I'm an operations person. I've got all this crazy startup experience. The word freelancer didn't quite feel right. The word gig worker didn't quite feel right. This word consultant, like I was allergic to hiring consultants at startups, so I didn't want to be a consultant. And I realized that, you know, there was this thing happening where people were building courses online, writing online for money, doing coaching work, taking on small contracts with startups, finding a way to have several income sources contribute to this next phase of their career. And that had a name. And that name was that they were building a portfolio career. And that was just a great aha moment for me. And I got down to business building a portfolio career of my own. Today, that portfolio career for me is Hello Generalist, where most of my income comes from these days, my coaching practice, some real estate income, and then a fractional contract of my own. It's a lot of stuff. It gives me that, you know, like intellectual itch I needed to scratch, helps me make the income I want for myself and my family, and gives me the time I want all around it. And how this relates to Hello Generalist is, you know, as I was doing this exploration myself, I started to talk to friends in San Francisco and realized that they would all trade their full-time jobs to give this a shot too. So I banded a few of us together. We started a platform. I launched a really crappy Squarespace site. And within 24 hours, I had 100 people on the wait list. And then fast forward 2 years later, there's about 10,000 people that have signed are on the wait list looking to join. We've worked with about 100 startups who have looked to hire them. We're profitable, we're independent, haven't raised any venture capital. And that's a big part of, you know, making this the business that I wanted it to be too. You know, on the generalist thing, when I first started the company, I initially thought I was going to build a platform for startups to hire operations people. And in particular, like the kind of first operations hire, the person that does a little bit of customer success and a little bit of sales and a little bit of like glue work behind the scenes to hold it all together. But what I realized was that in that application pool, I expected to see lots of operations people, which I did. But also what was in there, like CFOs who had taken a startup from, you know, zero to IPO, and growth leaders who had spent their whole career doing sales and marketing work, and HR leaders who had done HR their whole career. People that on paper you might describe as specialists, but who so deeply identify with all of the hallmarks of what defines a generalist, which is curiosity, a growth mindset, practical experience inside early stage startups where you get to spread your wings a little bit across more than one skill set. And that's really the group of people that we've brought together. So Hello Generalists today are people across pretty much every business function except for engineering. That's growth, product, finance, HR, general operations, marketing, could go on. And it's just an unbelievably deep pleasure to be surrounded by people that share those traits, share those values of lifelong learning, of deep professional curiosity. So that's what we do. Long story long.
I just see a lot of my own journey in yours. And I listen, with every operator I talk to, I feel that way because we all kind of stumble into this in our own right. And a lot of things are similar. The key component for me is accepting that I am a generalist. The thing I have to talk about, because I am a part of the Hello Generalist Network, your onboarding is like chef's kiss. It is so gorgeous. I keep praising it. But I absolutely adore it. And what I really liked about it was you were helping us learn in the onboarding process what is unique about our journeys. Now, you've done that, I'm sure, for how many people on the network now? You've helped them sort of discover in the craziness that is their lives and is their path. What is the special value add that they are bringing? I walked away with a lot of confidence and clarity that I had not had before. I'm guessing others feel that way. But from your side, what do you see?
It's really generous of you to say. I love running our onboarding workshops because, yes, there's a real light bulb moment that happens for so many people. What tends to be true is that these glue people, these people that do professionally hold a few different skill sets or departments underneath of them, though they are often the heroes of their business, somehow these people all also have a bit of imposter syndrome about them. Mm-hmm. And this workshop is meant to help you go categorically through what you've done and how to categorize what you've done, how to talk about what you've done, how to frame it in a way that others can understand. Because to the point of your podcast, operations is really hard to understand. So we've got to pack it apart. And it's a really beautiful thing. You know, most of our members are like me in that they're trying to make the jump from working full-time to working independently for the first time. So the workshop for them is really the launching point into not just what do I do, but it's also this launching point into, oh, wow, I think I can do this.
Yeah,
I can articulate what I do. I now have a community of people who are also trying to do this. I'm not alone in this. And wow, I have a product by the end of this workshop that states what I'm really great at, tells people where I can help them, sets up the situations where I'm uniquely qualified to step in and help. And doing that for the first time is it's an unbelievable pleasure to see happen.
Yeah, it's amazing to be able to also value what you've done in your life. I've helped to mentor people earlier in their careers. And you know what? Careers are not linear anymore. It's also very dependent on what's changing in the world in itself. And a lot of the times when I'm talking to people, I'm like, listen, the job that you're going to have when you graduate from college maybe doesn't exist right now. So like, just be open to it not existing and you being ready to learn what it is when that time comes. So you've got this reality and a lot of us still trying to put ourselves in that box saying, well, you know, I did this thing and I did this thing and I don't really see how it all connects. And I guess I help things, but there's that imposter syndrome, like you said, because it's not 1 + 1 = 2. It's like A to Z to X to, you know, W. And you're trying to figure out how to essentially pitch what you do to someone else to understand it. And to be real, we're not good at it. That was the first thing I really had to learn, was like, how do I convey that to others? And it took a lot of falling on my face to be able to do that. So I just applaud you for figuring out how to do that in like an hour and a half for others. That's amazing.
Well, you know, your point about the like really complex careers and I'll share with you some of the research that I did when naming the company with the word generalist in the first place. This whole word comes from a book called Range by David Epstein. It's a weekend read. You know, it's 5-6 hours to read it. And the book is subtitled Why Generalists Thrive in the World. I think I'm butchering that, but you get the point. The book studies and really chronicles his study of people that are known as specialists and people that are known as generalists, and what makes up generalist traits and where they thrive, and what makes up specialist traits and where they thrive. And he comes to talk about two different types of environments: a kind environment, one where the rules are the same year over year, they don't change. Environments like law, or like chess, or like golf, for instance, where those rules will continue to stay the same, perhaps changing slightly, like in law, over time. And then you have, contrasting to kind environments, you have what are called wicked environments. Wicked environments are just the opposite. The rules are changing constantly. The environment's unstable. To use your metaphor, it's A to Z to B to Q and back and forth. If you work in a startup and you're listening to this, you are probably nodding saying, oh yeah, I work in a wicked environment. Startups and people that are trying to build something new need people that are known as generalists, which are people that thrive in fast moving environments where they can take the skill sets built from learning new things year over year and dabbling in new projects, trying new different roles and industries and projects on for size. That wiring in your brain leads you to excel in wicked environments. Unlike someone who perhaps practiced law for 20 years, they're excellent in that kind environment where the rules stay the same. Their brain has been wired to become a deep, deep expert at that one thing. And environments that mimic that, they will excel in. This is where you hear a lot of early stage startup people having a hard time going into big tech, and vice versa. Big tech people struggling to come into startups. There's different brain neurons that are firing in those very different environments. And so read the book. It's excellent. I could talk about this for hours. But that's really where this generalist moniker came from. And I think why it's such a siren to people outside of ops across all these disciplines. And also why our customer, who are early stage startups, ambitious small businesses, why they see it and they immediately go, oh my God, yes, I do meet someone like that.
We could really talk all day, but we've run out of time, which is so sad. So we do want to leave a little bit of time to learn more about you as a person. So I'm going to ask a couple of rapid fire questions just to bring you to life in a little more human way. Okay. What is the favorite part of your day?
Mornings. I love mornings. Wake up with my partner. We have breakfast. We usually go on a walk. I have the most energy in the mornings. I love them.
What is your favorite quote or a quote that stuck with you over the years?
One that I was thinking about through this podcast is a butchered Buddhist phrase, which is, you will continue to learn the same lesson over and over again until you learn it.
It's just so true. So true. It's so painful. What is the best purchase that you've made under $50? That 50 that gets people, I'm telling you. Oh,
yeah. As somebody that newly lives in London, but works with the US, and it's currently late at night, I will flash with you my little handy desk light that is helping me not sit in the dark right now as I talk to you. So it's something I use every single day and helps me be seen on screen with my customers.
What is your favorite thing to bake?
Bread. Oh, insatiably baking bread. Probably every week I make a focaccia of some kind. The classic focaccia for me is like sesame seeds and onions, caramelized onions, sesame seeds, and lots of olive oil. I made one a day ago yesterday that we were enjoying for breakfast this morning.
Oh my gosh.
Always bread.
Last thing, which is, what do you want to be when you grow up?
I want to be a great partner and great sister and great community member and someone that is known for kindness and generosity and someone that, uses my professional work to, if I'm lucky, further my values in the world, help people, and make the income that I want for myself and my family. But above all, kindness, generosity, that's what I want to be.
Yeah, thank you so much for sitting down with us today. If people are listening and they want to be a part of your world and what you're doing, where can we point them to?
Go check out Hello Generalist at hellogeneralist.com. You can find me on LinkedIn. Those are the two spots. Come find me there.
And there's some wonderful content that you're putting out there too for people. So I would highly, highly recommend our listeners checking out everything that you're doing with Hello Generalist in general. Overall, thank you so much again for joining. Listeners, thank you so much for listening to Secret Ops or watching us. We really appreciate it. So continue to subscribe wherever you find your podcasts or subscribe to our YouTube channel, and we will see you next time. Bye.
Hey, listener. Do you want to be a top operator in business and in life? Well, we at Secret Ops are here to help you do just that. Check out our monthly Secret Ops newsletter with exclusive intel just for you. From bonus content to secret resources, we've given you the VIP access. To sign up, check out the link in the description. And as always, thanks for listening.